All right, welcome everybody. Let's go ahead and call the meeting to order at 3:03. Graham, if you'll do a roll call, please.
Sure. Mr. Neffendorf.
Here.
Mr. Earp.
Here.
Mr. Taggart.
Here.
Mr. Ramos.
Here.
Mr. Sanford.
Present.
And Mr. Taylor.
Here.
All right, we have everybody.
All right. Public comment period, item number C. Graham, is there anybody registered to speak, or is there anyone in the call that would like to speak and then just get their documents to Graham?
No one is registered.
Anybody else on the call besides us? Okay.
We've got a few that have joined us, but if anybody would like to make a comment, now would be the time to do so.
All right, I'm going to take the silence to mean that they're not interested in making public comment. So we're going to move on to item number D1, the consent agenda.
Move to approve as presented, Mike Taylor.
I'll second, Tom Taylor.
All right, so it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Our motion passes. There is no item E, so item number F1, update and possible direction to staff regarding the authority's Phase 1A projects. Just Jason Beamer.
Good afternoon, everybody. So just real briefly, Segment B pipeline is now at 96%. Of the 24-inch components being laid down. That includes all the appurtenances that go with that. So all that's going really well, and expect to be done with construction within the next 3 weeks or so. The big news for the pump station in reference to the lightning strike event is we now have a timetable here in the last couple of days for the parts to arrive. The longest lead item is about 30 days out. So sometime around the 6th of November, I'm expecting that all of the components will at least be on site and ready to be reinstalled accordingly. Beyond that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Jason, this is Mike Taylor. Is this going to change our critical spares list?
No, sir. I don't anticipate that, because we're not accessing any of our spare components for any of the repairs.
Right, but were there things that were lead time sensitive that we now are going to put on our spare list?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't follow with you. No, in the case of the items that are the longest lead time, they're basically the primary components of the ATS. So, you know, they're very expensive items and not something that we would generally approach as a backup component to have sitting on a shelf.
Have we figured out if we're protected from this happening in the future? Because when Buda needs this water in the future, we're not going to be able to shut down for this long to get the parts.
Yes, sir. So thus far, the feedback that I've gotten from a couple of different engineering folks that I've spoken with and some of the professionals that do this type of installation work is that in general, what we appear to have inside the fence line looks to be appropriate. The one sort of recurring theme that I've heard from a lot of folks is lightning is a strange sort of deal. You can have all of the great protection that you think you need, and then a strike can still get past you. But we're not done with that evaluation yet. So that's just what I've got so far.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anything else? Any other comments or questions? All right, thanks, Jason. Update on item number F2. Update possible direction to staff regarding the authority's Phase 1B program, Ryan.
Afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
All right. Well, you're going to hear quite a bit of me on the next few agenda items, so I apologize for that in advance. Well, jumping right into the general update, ongoing progress, design milestone reviews, you know, similar to the last several months. We've got multiple projects moving through final design right now. And as you can see from the list here on the left, several that are getting towards completion at this point as far as design is concerned. So between segment A and B and D, and then the pump station and water treatment plant, a lot of ongoing reviews as we look to get towards completion of design over the next few months on each of these. Wanted to give a brief update with regards to TCEQ exceptions that we have requested. We've mentioned some of these in prior updates and discussions. For the between the pipeline as well as the facilities, we've got multiple exceptions that going back almost 2 years now, we've been talking to the TCEQ about in anticipation of getting to a point where we'd be submitting these exceptions and hoping to keep on time so as to not impact final design and approval. So there on the left column are the projects, you know, and the associated exceptions. We've gone through probably the majority of these before in prior conversations, presentations, so won't get into the weeds too much right now. But main thing to maybe fill you in on is the status of each. Segment A, we have received the TCEQ's initial comments. Nothing too significant has come back based on that, so hopefully we'll see the other pipeline segments follow suit with that. They are actively reviewing the exception for segment B as well. And then on the facilities, the treatment plant was submitted in August and September for the pump station. So generally the timeline, the time frame we get from the TCEQ for these exceptions is on the order of 90 to 100 days for the process. So obviously if planning for that well in advance is critical to make sure that we don't affect the critical path ultimately as the consultants are moving through the final design process. So design consultants have worked well to stay ahead of those milestones and work with the program to get these things submitted. So as it stands right now, no major concerns from a schedule standpoint. And with all of the upfront coordination with the TCEQ, not anticipating any major hangups with any of the exceptions being requested as it stands right now. So, but we'll certainly keep you updated if any of that changes. Moving on to pipeline easement acquisition status. As has been the case in the last couple of updates, particularly segments A and B, unfortunately, not seen much activity in the way of additional signed purchase agreements at this point. As I've touched on in prior updates, you know, we do have several that are approved for condemnation. Alliance's special counsel has already scheduled multiple hearings associated with both A and B, but also hopeful that for several of these, based on their coordination with multiple attorneys now, that we'll be able to settle and or utilize a possession and use agreement to get the signature, to get the rights we need to move forward with the project. So of the remaining ones on A and B, there are more than a handful that we're still hopeful to get an agreement signed, obviously without having to go to hearings and additional steps. Expect that some of those will ultimately come in over these next couple months, but I'll touch on this a little bit more in the schedule update. You know, I think for the schedule, we are seeing a little bit of a lag in the acquisition phase. And like I said, I'll touch on that on the next topic, the next update presentation I'll get to after this, but obviously still a fair amount of work to be done on those segments. Segment D, similar story, you know, not on the same schedule, as critical as A and B at this point, but hopeful that we'll get more signed up. Expect that some additional ones will also ultimately come to the board for condemnation approval as well. And then segment C and E, still early in the process, getting offers out right now and starting the negotiation process, but still on the front end of that, those two segments. Last thing I'll touch on as part of the general update here is the progress on the well drilling construction. Over the last 30 days, they've been out at the first well site, site number 9, staging and stabilizing the site, and the pilot hole drilling has been underway, might be complete at this point. I haven't gotten an update here in the last couple of days, but was certainly progressing very well as of late last week. Over the next 30 days, definitely anticipate in the next few weeks that the production well will be completed and that the contractor will be making their way over to the adjacent well number 8. So far, so good as far as the pilot drilling's concerned, and hopefully we'll see similar progress as they work through the production well development. Couple of quick photos. Graham, I think you might have skipped one. There you go. There's the aerial view of well number 9 with obviously the drill rig and associated equipment set up. And then more of a close-up of the pilot hole drilling operation and the drilling mud there you can see in the containers there on the right side. With that, any questions?
Anybody have anything to ask Ryan on this presentation?
I have a question. This is Mr. Rommel.
Okay, go on, Umberto.
As far as schedule for the easements and acquisition, are we... I guess we're off, or are we on schedule, or, and then a follow-up to that is, because of this pandemic and everything that's going on, I know right now it's pretty much in landowners, but before we had problems, or during the process, we had problems with the courts. Now, if there's another second wave and we run into the same thing where everything closes down, do we have in our agreement with GVRA, for some reason, if we can't produce our project by the timeline, is there some way we can, you know, force majeure or something, or should we start looking at that, or should we just, you know, what's our thought process? Or we think we'll get everything in time and there'll be no problem as we go through these next couple of years trying to do this?
Sure, I can touch on at least the status of schedule. Actually, on the next presentation, the schedule update, we'll get into this a little bit, but we are recognizing a lag in the critical path of a month at this point for multiple pipelines, and land acquisition isn't the only reason for that, but it's certainly one of the reasons right now. As it stands, based on the special counsel's progress in getting hearings scheduled for condemnation so far, though that has certainly extended beyond what we had hoped for, we don't anticipate a significant lag beyond that at this point, but obviously, you know, we've got multiple landowners, we've got situations where landowners are selling right as we're, you know, in the process of sending out final offers, so there's a lot of different balls in the air that we're juggling right now that are affecting schedule. So as it stands right now, not anticipating more of a shift than I'll get to here momentarily, but we do realize there's certainly risk there that we're continuing to try to mitigate. Graham, do you want to touch on the GBRA question?
Yeah, I sure will. It's a good question, Umberto. With and again, I think you'll see a little bit of an update here on the next item, that we still think we're going to be able to deliver the water by June of 2023. But it is something we continue to watch. And while the agreement, I think, does provide for a force, or has a force majeure clause in it, I think before we would go to that extent, we would just want to continue to have conversations like we do every month at our project advisory committee meetings with GBRA and their customers, MBU, GoForth, and Lockhart, to update them on the schedule and continue to work towards ways that we can get everything on track to meet the delivery schedule that we have in our agreement. You know, we obviously fully intend to deliver the project and are doing everything we can to deliver it within the time frame specified. And at this point, I think we're still on that track, although it is getting tight and we are losing some of our flexibility we have within that schedule.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Sure.
Any other questions? Move us on to F3.
Sure. So make sure I'm in. Yeah, schedule and budget update. Okay. There's three of them, so just making sure I wasn't out of order. So,
oh, yeah, no worries.
So a few months ago, we did a schedule and budget update, you know, just checking in on the progress generally quarterly as we typically do. So starting with schedule, now that we're into October, touching on some developments, schedule rate related developments that have come up since the last update around the June timeframe. Obviously, in June, COVID was already something everyone was well aware of at that point. But what we weren't entirely sure of was what was going to be the impact of that to the easement acquisition process. In particular, exactly as Mr. Ramos touched on, how is that going to affect getting eminent domain hearings scheduled should the need arise, or when the need arises, and what was that going to look like? So we've definitely seen, going right to that point, we've definitely seen, particularly in Caldwell County, because that's really where all of the hearings have been, are located at this point. We've definitely seen something of a lag in trying to get hearings scheduled. As I mentioned in the last update, we have been able to get multiple scheduled now, but it's been a more arduous process than we would have otherwise anticipated, for sure. So can't speak to Hayes and Guadalupe County at this point, but just based on input from special counsel and others, it sounds like the process should move along a little better than what we've seen so far with Caldwell County, but obviously we'll cross that bridge when we get there, but that's what we know right now. In addition to that, we've touched in the last few months on the Corps of Engineers permitting process and how we received some comments for the pipeline segment A submittal from the Corps that were fairly unexpected and maybe even a little unusual versus what would typically be anticipated, particularly with regards to cultural resources. And so as a result of that, the environmental consultant, we've touched on this, how they've had to remobilize to multiple parcels where there's jurisdictional waters to do some additional field work to basically to appease the Corps of Engineers and get reports back in that reflect that updated field work and detail that they're looking for. So at this point, optimistic that we're back on track, particularly with segment A. But of course, seeing those comments come in on segment A has also resulted in the environmental consultant having to study similar jurisdictional areas on the other pipeline segments and then assess whether additional field work is required there as well. So it's had something of a ripple effect as we talk about the impact of the pipeline schedules in particular. last thing I'll touch on, which has also been brought up before, is we've been coordinating with the design consultants with regards to assessing the construction contract durations as currently identified in their schedules and in the program schedule. For the major pipelines, we've generally held a duration of 24 months from notice to proceed to final completion. And that's basically held through 30% design. As the design consultants have been advancing through final design, we've asked for greater assessment of that to get, you know, to evaluate it on their end, get contractor input, and come back to us and give us a sense for what they feel how much we could potentially reduce those schedules. And of course, with the goal of not impacting costs significantly, but also just making sure if we do reduce those durations, that it's something that's realistic for construction, that we're not, you know, putting something in the contract that we know is unlikely for the contractor to be able to accomplish. On the program side, also obtained some feedback from the contracting community as well on these same questions. So for segments A, B, and D, input we've received is that 24-month duration can be reduced down by at least a few months, meaning maybe down to 21 months in the case of all three segments, possibly more, but that felt like, based on the input received collectively, that 21 months felt like a pretty comfortable duration to move forward with potentially. The schedule update you're about to see right now does not reflect that reduction in the duration for those three projects. It's something we're going to continue to evaluate, and ultimately, before all of this goes out for contracting, you know, I expect that we will have updated it maybe within the next couple of months, next time you see a schedule update. And there, of course, are remaining projects that are still under evaluation with regards to the duration, but just wanted to give you an update on what we've received input on so far.
Ryan, if I could ask one question about that.
Sure.
In relation to the construction contracts, and I assume these assessments are primarily amongst the engineering team and are not including potential contractors at this point.
Well, we're a combination of both, Tom. Getting, of course, the engineering team is assessing it on their end, but certainly getting some level of feedback, you know, from the contracting community just to get their two cents on it.
Well, I think we talked at some point about the potential of adding incentives for, you know, completion on schedule or ahead of schedule. And I think, you know, looking at this reality, even if these are realistic timeframes that we come up with through the assessment process, you know, I really think that we should in you know, doing the RFPs, you know, build in those kinds of incentives. I mean, given that our schedules have tightened up to the extent they have, and there's still a number of unknowns floating around out there, you know, I really think that would benefit us in relation to, you know, helping preserve schedules and mitigate some of those concerns.
Appreciate that, Tom. That's, yeah, in fact, we'll, of course, the very next discussion on the agenda is procurement, and this ties right into that, but absolutely, that is something we've discussed, and we'll certainly plan to discuss it further. So thank you. So the schedule update you see here, as noted from June, the prior quarterly update, and just to refresh everyone's memory briefly, the legend down in the corner identifying the phase as shown in the bar schedules for each individual project. And of course, there on the right side, the substantial completion marker of June 2023, which of course has already been discussed, particularly critical with regards to the Alliance GBRA combined infrastructure. So moving on to the current update, as I touched on a little bit earlier, you know, really the primary impact we've seen in the few months since the last update has been to segments A, B, C, and D, the nearly all of the pipeline segments at this point. Primary reasons for that, really items that I've gone over, the environmental, the delay in the core permitting process, and the ripple effect of the additional environmental field work for those segments, including segment A, but also the land acquisition process. You can see there for three of the four segments, at least, that land acquisition process is shown to extend further by 1 month as well. A couple other things I'll note on here that weren't included in the last quarterly update. The treatment plant and raw water infrastructure were previously being identified as separate, tracked as separate projects on the schedule update. But collectively moving forward, they are going to procured as one contract. So as a result, you can see that on the list there. Those are combined as one contract now. The other thing is the inline elevated storage tanks down at the very bottom was not on the prior update, so that's now included as well. So with regards to the status as identified there, segments A, B, C, and D showing a delay of 1 month right now. A couple things that we've been doing on the program side, given what's come up with the core and resolution of some of these environmental reports that the program environmental consultant is working on, some key things that we've been trying to do is, you know, anything that's in control on our side as we and Graham and Jason are reviewing those materials as they come in. What was a duration of a couple weeks previously is now reduced down to just a few days. So as soon as we get the environmental reports, give it a good thorough review, but at a much more condensed time frame so as to make up any schedule where we feel like we can there. On the land acquisition side, especially as we've now dealt with many landowners and gone through the offer process, seen the kind of concerns that have been brought up by multiple landowners. We've been working with special counsel and general counsel on items that can be incorporated as special conditions into the easement template. And also just now that we're seeing a lot of consistent requests, we're more able to expedite responses to a lot of these landowners now that the Brain Trust has seen several of these on multiple occasions. The responses are pretty well known, so the land agents are more informed on how they can respond to the landowners when a lot of these same issues come up over and over again. For the remaining projects, you know, as the schedule indicates, no change at this point in the schedule. Segment E certainly has similar risks to the other four segments, but as it stands right now, no change from the prior quarterly update. So go ahead, Graham, to the next slide. Moving forward, the primary concerns remain the same, really just land acquisition and environmental as related to the pipelines. You know, certainly on the design side, there's plenty of things that we are actively working through. I touched on TCEQ exception requests. So there's, you know, as it stands right now, no major concerns there. There's a lot of different things, you know, affecting one project to another, but for the most part, on the design side, as it stands right now, we see no major risk to schedule at the moment. It's really more the environmental and land at this phase. So those are the main things we're tracking. As far as next steps are concerned, we gave you an update last month related to commissioning and the sequence of how all of this infrastructure is going to come online. Obviously, as we've worked through that and received additional feedback from the technical committee and board, look to incorporate that into the next schedule update. Not expecting any dramatic changes based on that, but that's just something that needs to be formalized. and then also procurement, which we're about to get into in the sequence of how these projects are released. Obviously, if we shuffle any of that or adjust any of that, that affects the overall schedule as well. So we'll have that discussion here momentarily and can talk about that a bit more. With that, any additional schedule questions before we move on to budget? Okay. Moving on to budget, back in the June, July timeframe, we did a pretty comprehensive update to the overall budget and presented that. For today, this will be a little more abbreviated. You know, really, since that time, these last couple of months, the main things that have occurred have been just updates, particularly with regards to projected construction costs by the design consultants as they're moving further along in final design. So that's really what you're going to see here on these next couple of slides. So beginning with the first slide that's up right now, you'll recall, of course, with some of this infrastructure being shared with GBRA as part of the combined program, the land acquisition engineering support services shown there on the bottom row, that per the contract between Alliance and GBRA, that's all a 50-50 split. For the construction costs, it's all based around allocated capacity to each entity. As we've talked about before, for the pipelines, that's pretty straightforward to define the appropriate share for each entity. For the facilities, we've got different components within each facility being sized for different phases for Alliance. So obviously that affects exactly how that allocated share breaks down between the two entities. So what you see here are a couple of updates to the treatment plant and the pump station based on their further design development. They're literally going through each major component of their facilities, respective facilities, the design consultants are, and breaking out the allocated share. So that's the averaged out share essentially for each facility updated as you see there in red. Moving on then to the next table. So this is the overall Alliance total projected cost. And to refresh everyone's memory, of course, over in the left column are the different projects broken out by combined program versus Alliance only. The second column being the original cost from now a couple of years ago as projected, the revised there in the third column, and then the delta over in the far right column. So obviously the numbers in red reflect updates that have been made to those numbers since we last did the update now a couple of months ago. So the changes in red, looking at the difference column, generally speaking, we're seeing reductions in projected cost. And obviously, as we've talked about previously, there's been a significant focus on just seeing where we can reduce scope and reduce cost, value engineer, so to speak, but also just cut down things where it appears they can be reduced and not affect the long-term operation and maintenance. So for the most part, we've seen success. Obviously, the one outlier you see there is one of the pipeline segments. Big picture, one of the discussion points that we've been having here recently is between the five pipeline segments, we've got a lot of 42 and 36 inch pipeline to be installed. And from one consultant to the next, we see that unit cost in some cases is consistent or relatively close, but in others, there's a fair amount of discrepancy. And of course, the consultants are looking at, you know, they're running their own numbers. They're calling the manufacturers and getting their input on the pipeline materials themselves. They're also looking at bid tabulations, recent bid tabulation data, and seeing what that tells them. So for one consultant to another, we're seeing a little bit of discrepancy there. We have recently asked for all five pipeline consultants to provide their backup data for those key items, because obviously the unit cost of the pipeline is really the key determinant of their overall cost, at least order of magnitude anyway. So we have asked for their backup data and intend here in the next week to 2 weeks to have a conference call with the group and just talk through the information that their costs were derived from and see if we can get a little more consistency from one consultant to the next on those key unit costs. We don't necessarily expect that all will be identical. You know, certainly when you think about pipeline segment C, which goes up into well-developed sections of Kyle and San Marcos and other places versus very cross-country routes of A and D, you know, we expect there will be some discrepancy there potentially. What we hope to accomplish is maybe to try to get everyone a little more on the same page so that discrepancy isn't quite so vast. But all that being said, you know, otherwise, as I mentioned, we're largely seeing the numbers come down
a little bit. Ticket down the hall, municipal court windows are the first ones you see on the right. You're welcome. Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to unmute myself. I apologize.
No problem. So aside from that one outlier, largely seeing the numbers reduce from the prior update now a couple of months ago, certainly want to see these come down more. So we'll be continuing to work at that. But as it stands right now, this gives you at least a snapshot of what we've seen over the last couple months.
Ryan, if I could ask one consideration in relation to this. Recognizing we're probably likely to get multiple updates on this as things evolve. If you could maybe put a date at the head of each of these columns then, so we know what these various, updates are in terms of when they were done.
Absolutely, Tom. We'll do.
That'll make it a lot easier to follow later when we have several more updates.
Ryan, another thing is the numbers that are in red for the updates, the right column, the difference column, isn't consistent whether you are showing the difference between the updated number and the revised number or the difference between the updated number and the original number. They kind of bounce back and forth between some of those, so you need to review those and make sure that it's consistent all the way down.
Okay. Thanks for pointing that out, James. We'll take a look at that.
I'd like to ask a question. This is Mr. Ramos.
Yes.
So I see that the admin building, we had put 4.3, and now it's 4.2, and it's a difference of $100,000. When are we actually going to – I know we put the admin building like towards the end to look at that. When was our timeline to look at that and start seeing what we can do about the admin building?
I'll jump in on that one, Ryan. Umberto, I basically put that on hold, and we haven't moved that forward at all in the last year. To me, that's kind of a luxury item compared to this other necessary infrastructure. So until we get comfortable that we're on track with the other numbers, I don't see the admin building moving forward. We've made provisions within the booster pump station project, as well as at the water treatment plant, where we have facilities that we need to be able to operate the system as a whole. So we've got that portion covered. In terms of kind of the admin and a little bit more of an operations facility there in Maxwell, that's on hold until we get more comfortable with the overall budget. And then we will, before we kind of start that back up, we will certainly have a discussion with the board and move that forward. As you might recall, we made a selection in terms of a designer for that, but we have not entered into a contract for that yet. So that is effectively on hold at this point.
Okay, well, can I make a recommendation? And I'd like to see, I guess, Graham, if you can just put an asterisk by that and just put a notation on the bottom, because if we're going to have dates on these things, and let's say, 2 years from now, we're not the same people, someone's going to say, well, the admin building never really changed. And the story's lost because everyone's, different board members come. So if you can make a note that, that this is what we did and this asterisk represents the admin building wasn't considered till everything else was considered. So just make a notation somehow, somewhere.
Yeah, we can certainly do that. Good
All right, thank you.
Yep.
This is David Davenport, if I could ask a question.
Sure, David.
The difference in the price of the two elevated storage tanks, do you know what that is? One's at $7 million, the other at $3 million. North and south.
Right offhand, David, I know height played into that to some extent. Obviously, that's not, you know, for that big of a discrepancy, not the primary driver. I believe size as well, because if I'm not mistaken, one is a 1 million gallon, one is 1.5 million. And beyond that, I think primarily related to site civil and yard piping and some of those items. The inline tanks have not really extended still beyond 30% at this point. They're working on the engineering feasibility report right now, so we should get an update here soon. But that's what I can tell you right offhand about the difference in those two.
Thank you.
Sure.
Was that all the comments for this particular item? Are we ready to move on?
Last thing I'll touch on here quickly, James. As I mentioned a moment ago, coordinating with the pipeline consultants on cost development for those key unit cost items, that'll be underway here over the next couple of weeks on our end. Of course, continuing the value engineering effort, several action items related to that as we've been moving through the various reviews of the many design projects. Once again, additional contractor feedback, tracking bids in the area, and, you know, anything else we can get our hands on to continue to refine things a little bit further.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Graham, right now, what is our funding gap if the projections stay? I know they're not going to, but if they do, what's our current funding gap?
We, assuming everything gets approved this month, we will have $240 million in funding.
So we're $90 million short?
Well, I think I'm confident we're going to come in below without the contingency. So the numbers I'm continuing to look at is this $270 million number. Between the two. And of course that still includes in things like the admin building and a lot of the other costs we've got to continue to work on. But I've told our group that, you know, we are not going to get any additional funding above and beyond what's being approved this year, which brings us to a total of $240 million. We've got to deliver the project at that cost.
Okay. Thank you. Did the board want to? Did the technical advisory board want to spend any time talking about that, or are y'all good with that? Yeah, I'm not hearing any desires. Okay, moving on to item number F4 then, Ryan. This is the procurement update.
Yes.
While I'm, and I'll turn it over to Ryan here in just a second, I did want to give a couple of quick updates. That are in your packet. You might recall we talked about when we looked at the various cost-saving measures last year, the idea of packaging several of these together and bidding them simultaneously or near simultaneously so that we could take advantage of economies of scale and achieve some savings. At that time, we thought that combining the facility work together, so the booster pump station and water treatment plant would garner total savings, and then an additional 10% could be saved if we combine pipeline segments A and B, and then we could consider adding on the other segments as we go. So this is just an update to some of that as the schedule continues to develop out. Kimley Horn has continued to look at this, and they've also looked at, within our competitive seal proposal process, how we can weight those different measures that we'll ask the contractors to submit so that we are appropriately asking for lower cost items, but at the same time, not prioritizing low cost over contractors that can safely and do the work in a good job and do it in a good manner. In other words, we don't want somebody to come in and say they could do it for $30 million faster, but they will actually never complete the project because they've never done a project like this before. That will defeat our purpose in the long run. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ryan, and he can talk through the analysis they've done to look through all of this.
Sure. Thank you, Graham. That tees it up pretty well. Starting with the first slide here, of course, we've already issued out the well drilling via competitive seal proposal going back now several months. That was the direction given, was to release these projects for procurement via competitive seal proposal. So exactly as Graham just stated, we certainly want to make sure that price is a key criteria, but also want to make sure that the contractor that's selected for these projects of significant magnitude, are of right quality and reputation, safety record is very good, and various other components as listed there. Looking ahead to our first projects out of the gate, the first four contracts based on the current schedule be the water treatment plant, pipeline segment A, booster pump station, and segment B. As you can see there, based on the dates as shown, we've got something of an 8 to 10 week difference between the treatment plant and pipeline segment B. So just something to bear in mind, but those are the first handful out of the gate. As we move forward into procurement. So talking a little bit about procurement options, of course, one of the ones that we've talked about previously and maybe the one that we've been asking contractors for quite a bit of input on is the potential for keeping these four packages separate, but bidding simultaneously or releasing for proposals simultaneously. The idea there being exactly as we've discussed before, and as Graham alluded to, should contractors elect to evaluate multiple packages and want to throw their hat in the ring for multiple packages, the proposal process would be set up in a way to where we have them identify the potential economies of scale and savings associated with being selected for project A plus B or project A plus B plus C, et cetera. So the key benefit we see to that approach is, of course, giving all of the contractors up front the opportunity to identify those efficiencies and potential savings to Alliance as a result. At least one potential risk we see, of course, we just talked through schedule quite a bit, but just given that these first four are 8 to 10 weeks apart right now, if we were to release them, we would want to obtain all of those bids simultaneously on all four contracts. And in order to do that, that means we're lagging the schedules of some of these projects right out of the gate as we're going to bid. So that's one of the key things we'd have to evaluate the risk associated with is trying to align these, but also some of the projects as a result having some give in their schedule. Another approach, more straightforward approach, of course, would be to just release as the projects are ready to be released for proposal. Of course, the key downside to that is rather than upfront seeing those contractors provide those economies of scale and kind of put their best foot forward simultaneously with one another, we instead would be selecting one contractor, which potentially limits the opportunity to see efficiency savings from those other contractors. Some of the input we've received on the flip side of that has been, well, if I don't get selected for the first contract, then I'm really going to sharpen my pencil for the next one. So how exactly that evens out, you know, obviously that's not an exact science, but that is some of the feedback we've received. But that's maybe the key potential downside we see to just taking that approach, certainly versus the first approach. The last option to consider that we've been discussing has been, what if we combine more of these into one procurement release? I think the key concern we see there is these are already significant contract sizes. You know, we're talking a pump station that's projecting around 20 million right now in construction to a water treatment plant that's more in the $50 million range. So these are already sizable contracts to begin with. So the more we go all in on all of them or more of them simultaneously package, you know, the more we're going to limit our flexibility and limit the contractor pool that's likely going to throw their hat in the ring. But over the last really several months, but has been a focus, especially over the last couple months, has been getting the feedback on these options from the contracting community, from contractors that we know have interest in what is going to be released by Alliance coming up. And generally the feedback we receive, just to summarize it here briefly, contractors that would be interested in pursuing all of these contracts from the get-go, you know, believe that they have the capacity and the skill set to do the in-the-fence work, the linear work, and have the capacity for all of that, will, as you can probably imagine, that would be a pretty limited number of contractors that have all of that, that can do all of that. With regards to the two facilities or the first two pipeline segments, definitely the feedback was there are multiple contractors that would like to look at pursuing, you know, all the in the fence work or all of the linear work for sure. So a lot of that, of course, just is based on how it aligns with their skill set. One additional item that we heard, at least from a couple, you know, there are a fair amount of contracts, you know, we're still seeing a contracting community that is pretty busy. There are other large contracts coming up here in South Texas and Central Texas. So we know we're going to be continuing to compete with other entities, other utilities. So some of the feedback we received is that a lot of hungry contractors, but also a lot of work out there. So want to keep continuing to track that. You know, that is something that was brought up, that workload, you know, could affect exactly how many of these contracts they would attempt to go at. With regards to the simultaneous bid concept, exactly what described on the prior slide, with the opportunity to show potential savings based on multiple selections, generally the feedback is positive in that regard. From what we've heard from the folks we've spoken with so far, you know, I think generally that approach is one that the ones that we've spoken to so far definitely have familiarity with and are comfortable with. A couple of them just identified, you know, since you are doing a competitive sealed proposal process, just something to be thinking about is making sure that it doesn't become a low bid process by virtue of all these additional approaches you're taking with regards to cost savings and some of those things. So going back to Graham's point just a moment ago, obviously want to take advantage of those opportunities, but of course want to make sure the contractors that Alliance is comfortable with moving forward are those that can handle the work and have the resume and the capability. With regards to durations, very briefly, generally the program schedules show a bidding schedule for most of these projects in the 6 weeks time frame. On the pipeline side of things, you know, we heard that's fine. It's maybe even a little more than is needed. Facilities, what we heard was particularly for the treatment plant, 6 weeks should be the minimum, should consider maybe even bumping that up a week or two.
Ryan, if I could ask one question here before we move on to more details.
Sure.
In relation to keeping the packages separate but bidding them simultaneously, what is the spread in schedule spread in having those designs and packages fully complete? In other words, what delay would we experience just because of the need to have those all completed to get, you know, out to bid at the same time?
Sure. So on the front side, water treatment plant as currently projected would be bid ready end of January is the current projection. Segment B on the other side of it is projected to be there by early April. Now, the treatment plant would have a longer bid duration, so that at least captures a couple of those weeks potentially, but we're probably still talking about, you know, something on the order of 6 to 8 weeks of delta there, where your water treatment plant contract would basically be holding for the other projects to catch up.
Right.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
And is that the most, that's the widest spread in items time-wise, correct?
For the first four projects, correct. You know, there's still an additional wave from there, but for the first four projects, that's right. the maximum. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. So moving on now to the actual makeup of the competitive sealed proposal scoring process. The two tables you see here are taken right out of what was released and what was utilized for the well drilling contract. So the table on the left reflects the criteria that add up to a total maximum score and points for the overall evaluation of the proposal. Table on the right reflects the proposal price points based on the cost range, with the maximum number of points awarded to the lowest proposal price. So those are two key tables that define, you know, how these could potentially be scored, these upcoming projects. So there's options to us to consider for all of the variables on the left table. On the right table, you know, it's not only the points awarded, but it's also, you know, since these contracts, like I said, we're now talking about $25 to $50 million contracts. The well drilling contract was $3 to $4 million, roughly speaking. So the order of magnitude's quite a bit different. So that change in points based on the delta you see there obviously will be something that would be updated and reconsidered. So there's a lot of variables just in these two tables alone, and that's what we've been studying here over these last couple of months. So over the last couple of months, what we've basically been performing is something of a sensitivity analysis, with the goal being for these upcoming projects, trying to find that balance in what Alliance will be comfortable with regards to cost versus the other factors, the qualifications and everything else, and kind of evaluating the sensitivity of how important or how much weight is put on one versus the other, and trying to find a balance that Alliance is going to be comfortable with before these go out on the street at the beginning of next year. So we've already touched on a few of the items bulleted here. As I mentioned before, you've got the number of points for the proposal price itself. The well drilling, that was 50 points awarded for price. For these upcoming projects, we went through an exercise of just looking at, well, what if we reduce that all the way down to just 30 points awarded for price? And meaning the other 70, maximum of 70 to all the other factors. all the way up to what if we bump it up to 60 points awarded maximum for cost and how that affects things. So very quickly, Graham, if you want to go to the next slide, I'll just touch on a couple of very brief examples. The main thing I'll say is what you see here on these couple of slides, we literally have now hundreds of these tables in a spreadsheet just, you know, because as we change some of these little variables, that then helps us figure out how does that affect the scoring in these kind of hypothetical scenarios. So what you see here on this slide, like I said, this is just a snapshot of an example table taken from the exercise we've been going through. So, but you see in the table down at the bottom, a contractor in A, B, C, D, E, F. So six hypothetical contractors proposing on one of these given projects. And like I said, we've looked at a $25 million project, a $50 million project. Then up at the top, you see for the non-cost related items, if the low bidder scores 50% of the total potential points for everything but cost, and then the other proposers here, contractors B through F, get to 75% of those total points, then where does the threshold lie? Does that low bidding contractor, based on the cost parameters here, still get selected at 50% on all those other items, on qualifications and everything else? Or at what point do they get beat out by one of the other contractors? So in this particular example, the low still would be selected. And that's with a proposal price maximum of 50 points. Going over to the next table. If you change the maximum number of points to 60 instead of 50 for price, does that change anything with the same criteria? And the answer is, though the points shift, the answer is no. Ultimately, that theoretical contractor A is still the one who scores the highest. So once again, this is just to give you an example of the process we've been going through. We've provided a lot of this data to Graham. He's actively looking at it. We are as well. Like I said, there's literally dozens of these tables. So there's finding that sweet spot and going through that process is something that is continuing to occur. And we should be back with an update on all of related to this in the next 1 to 2 months for you. Any questions on any of that?
It's pretty extensive.
Ryan, I guess I do have one question. If we could kind of look back here a little bit to that first slide in this.
Sure.
This shows the options. And I guess what I would ask is, and I think what this subsequent discussion kind of indicated, at least in terms of contractor feedback, is that the number of contractors that would pursue all four contracts would be limited, but there would be a lot of contractors that would pursue the facilities or pipelines grouped separately. So I guess what I would ask is if we should have four key packages separate, bid simultaneously, you know, that break and options, that we bid all four together or split by, specialty. The pipeline contractors, mm-hmm. you know, would maybe bid the pipeline contracts, but not the plants.
That is definitely something that, you know, one option that we'll want to consider, Tom. I'd say we still have a little ways to go in getting some additional input from the contracting community and
right.
making sure that what we've seen so far still generally holds true. But yes, that absolutely could be one alternate approach, is to, especially if schedule, you know, if it appears that
right.
it may benefit
I'm,
from a schedule standpoint.
That's what I'm really aiming at. It seems the schedule spread is the most between those, the plant versus pipeline projects. If you group those separately, what does that spread look like? I mean, your pump station and plant are going to be pretty much ready at the same time, aren't they?
Yeah, there's I believe maybe late January to mid March time frame. So certainly closer than segment B. And probably less, at least, you know, we're not dealing with environmental and land acquisition on those two projects. So that right. certainly gives maybe an added level of certainty at this point.
And what's the design spread on segment A and B?
Currently a month to a month and a half.
So about the same.
Yep.
So they could really all go out at the same time, but just grouped, potentially.
Potentially, yep. That's a really good point. That is, you know, for those reasons and others, that's definitely an approach worth considering.
All right.
And Tom, what we've talked about is because it's kind of a dynamic situation with the schedule, is we will continue to monitor this, and then probably right at the first of the year, we'll need to make the decision on which way we want to move forward. And we'll have a better schedule in hand as to when those packages will be ready, and we can determine how best to package them and get them out on the street that benefits us the most.
Right. And I think it is too soon to make a firm decision on that. But
we've got different options, though, in mind, and just depending on how they continue to work towards getting ready towards completion, then we can make that call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Graham, if you want to go to the last slide, I'll go ahead and wrap up. That's just about everything there. So next steps, exactly as I just said, we've got more feedback we want to get from the contracting community, want to continue to get their input on the approach to procurement, exactly what we were just discussing, but also want to continue to get their feedback on the scoring, on, you know, the various ways we can approach the scoring process and the competitive seal proposal process. You know, the community down here, we've got a lot of contractors that are very much accustomed to the CSP process. So we want to continue to get feedback from those folks on what they've liked and what they've seen backfire and, you know, continue to get that input. Schedule evaluation at also exactly we just discussed. Of course, you know, we've got our current schedule projection for these four projects. Want to continue to look at bid readiness and how things evolve as we get towards the beginning of next year and kind of see where things stand. And also, of course, commissioning as well. As I said before, you know, we do potentially look at trying to combine some of these contracts. We want to make sure that in the long run, you know, looking ahead to all of this infrastructure having to come online, make sure that we're not putting the commissioning process at risk in terms of how these projects get constructed and completed. And in addition to that, we've here over these next couple months, we'll be coordinating with the design consultants to fine tune, you know, for each individual project, the requirements with regards to experience and qualifications and the scoring for each of those and continuing to get through those items with the design consultants. You know, when you think about what experience we want the contractors, the proposers to highlight for the treatment plant, obviously that could look quite a bit different than what we're looking for in the pipeline. So that's the sort of thing the design consultants, that's just one example of things we're going to need input from the design consultants on. And the construction management team has already been giving us some feedback, some very useful feedback on what we've put together so far. And so we'll be continuing to coordinate with them as well. With that, I'll be happy to take any additional questions.
Are y'all able to hear me on your headset?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure. My other one died, and this is the only one I had with me. So. Okay. Any other questions for Ryan? Thank you, Ron.
Thank you all.
Item number F5 is the update on SWIFT funding, Graham.
Great. Just a quick update as I get that item on our screen. As you know, we are moving forward with our SWIFT issuances. I've coordinated with all of our sponsors to get an item placed on your next agendas for approval. Canyon Regional approved at their board meeting on Monday night the resolutions. And then next week, we have all three cities on Tuesday night and the three special utility districts on Monday and on Thursday set for approval on all of those. So, and then, of course, they'll come to our board. You know, we saw we got fantastic rates, which is very good, although we're issuing more debt, as we mentioned previously in the budget update, by $27 million than we anticipated. We're still realizing overall principal and interest savings versus what we had budgeted in 2017. So I highlight that in the presentation that I'll make to each of the boards and councils next week. That's really it on that. I'm just a quick update. Happy to answer any questions if there are any.
All right. Sounds like that's not the case. So can you go ahead and take us to the next item? I don't have the agenda up right this second.
I sure will. The next one is our meetings. Item F6, update on all of our various meetings in the area.
Right.
And Gonzales District met last night. They did not discuss anything that affects the authority. Plum Creek scheduled to meet next Tuesday on the 20th. The next GMA 13 meeting is scheduled for November 13th. And I believe the regional meeting is next regional meeting is also scheduled for early November. As was mentioned at the board meeting, the five-year plan was approved by regional and sent to the Texas Water Development Board for inclusion in the state water plan. So effectively, that's the conclusion of this five-year planning cycle, and it starts rolling right into the next five-year cycle. And so that next meeting will take place in November. I believe among the discussion topics will be replacing the chair of Regional, as the former chair is leaving the San Antonio River Authority to pursue other endeavors. And so there'll need to be a new chair for the planning group. Otherwise, that's the update on this item. I don't have anything else to report.
Okay. Item number G is your executive director report.
Yeah, just a reminder, this is the October meeting is going to be held virtually on the 28th. All of the usual consultant invoices to be paid and, that were paid in September, change orders, et cetera. I don't have any other updates beyond that.
Okay. The only thing that I would say to the board members on here is that even though I'm calling in on my phone today, that's just a function of where I'm at. If you guys can get to where you're logging in on your computer and actually, you know, to look at desktops and what have you, it dramatically changes. Now that I've done this via phone, I definitely understand how much I've missed by having, you know, the access to Teams. So just learn from me, and if you can get onto your laptops or your desktops and run Teams and be able to see the slides as they're being presented, it sure helps a lot. All right. I think that's
We have item H, Mr. Chairman, the committee member.
Yeah, I'm trying to get there. So item number G doesn't require any action, even though you've attached all the numbers, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Any future agenda items from the group? Not hearing any. All right. So do we need executive session?
No, sir.
All right. So that should bring us to the end of the agenda. So we are adjourned. Thanks, everybody, so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Graham, you have time for a call after?
I sure do. Can I give you a shout on your office phone?
That'd be fine.
Great. I'll do that shortly.
Bye.